Hello, SMI. It's Christine Dean. And for our next Conversations with podcast, SMI member John Wright, VP of Supply Chain and Support Services for Intermountain Healthcare, interviews Charlie Mills, the CEO of Medline, as they discuss innovation and distribution, supply chain transparency and resiliency, and what it means to be a great customer. Join me now in listening to John and Charlie.
Well, good morning, Charlie. Thank you for talking with me today, and welcome to SMI's Conversations with podcast. I want to talk with you today about your thoughts on leadership, supply chain distribution, and some other topics. But I really want to start with our conversation today with the fact that Medline has been in business for over 50 years, and you've been the CEO for over 20 of those years, and you're still a family-owned and operated business in an industry where that's almost unheard of in healthcare. So tell me a little bit more about your business and how you've successfully managed a multi-generational organization through so much change and uncertainty in healthcare.
Again, thank you. We've been very fortunate. So Medline was $17.6 billion in revenue last year. We have about 27,000 employees. We are family owned. My family owns the company, a small amount of it we've donated to a foundation. And we've been very fortunate. We've had very strong growth. We've worked very hard to have the family lead the business for the benefit of the business. Everybody in the family has started in sales. So 35 years ago, I was a sales rep, and that was really the way to learn the business. And it was the way to keep the company very customer oriented. So we wanted to and still want to run the business from a customer point of view.
Yeah, that's great. You mentioned strong growth. So could you share with us a little bit about the growth trends over the past 10 years?
Yes. So over the last 10 years, we have quadrupled in sales.
Wow.
About 90% of that's been organic. We've had a few small acquisitions that have been, you know, strategic and that kind of thing. I've been CEO for 24 years and very fortunately have grown double digit every year that I've been CEO. So quite lucky. And we've entered some new businesses. Physician office was a new business for us about 10 years ago, and we'll be about $750 million this year. And it's a nice but very important business. And probably the biggest growth has been in prime vendor distribution, where 20 years ago we weren't even in it, and now we're the market leader with last year, the GHX data at the fourth quarter hit us about 40%. So that's been a lot of volume.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, from your perspective, talk a little bit about the culture at Medline, especially over the last few years, and you know how you guys focus on talent development, which is really something really all of us as SMI members are constantly trying to address.
So being private company where we can have a long-term approach on many things and do things that maybe don't necessarily pay off right away. And on talent, most of our management has been promoted from within. We have a very high preference for that. I think we run very good recruiting programs at colleges, and we have a ton of people who are here between their junior and senior year of college, and they have an internship, and it's a good way for them to take a look at Medline, and we take a look at them, and a lot of our best people have started from that program.
All right, very good. Well, let me change gears here a little bit and we'll talk a little bit about, we know that Medline's been in the manufacturing business for a long time. in addition to distribution services. And the last year, we all know, has been very challenging. So how has the PPE crisis we experienced changed any strategy for Medline's manufacturing business?
So we have about 20 manufacturing locations in the U.S. And we've always kept, we think, relatively high inventory levels, at least compared to many of the public companies where we know what they carry. And that was quite helpful in trying to mitigate some of the issues with, you know, the explosive growth in PPE. And by the way, I mean, when sales on a product line go up 10 times, there's, whether it's toilet paper or isolation gowns, it's, you know, nobody's prepares a factory to have it run idle 90% of the time. Now there are things we could do in the future maybe to mitigate that, but that is an issue. So I think the industry responded quite well, but you know, we all did our part. We started manufacturing hand sanitizer in Connecticut and Wisconsin. We're making face masks in Georgia. We were making reusable isolation gowns in Mexico, and we started making disposable isolation gowns in Mexico as well. These are all new things that popped up due to the pandemic. So things like that, I think, were quite helpful in trying to address many of the issues.
Yeah, you know, I've been surprised participating in a number of different conversations with peers on a national scale, you know, just hearing differences of opinion around how people are going to change their strategies and, you know, whether they're going to mean stockpiling inventory or, you know, diversifying their supplier base. It's just been interesting to see kind of what the pandemic has forced, I think, a lot of organizations to reevaluate their strategies. So, you know, I just wonder if, you know, are these short-term changes? Do you think these are going to be short-term changes in response to the pandemic, or do you really see these as more systemic long-term strategy changes? Because as you mentioned, right, it's a once every 100-year event, you know, how do you really build that into your ability to react to that?
Well, I think stockpiling, especially when this is finally over, will make sense. It might exacerbate the problem. You know, there are countries like the UK that literally bought like five times the national glove usage the government did. And, you know, you have things like that, and it just becomes worldwide shortages. But stockpiling, once this is over, I think will be valuable. We have spent in the last 3 years about $1.5 billion in capital spending. A lot of that's been warehouse space, and have coordinated with many customers to let them use space in our facilities for this. The other thing that can happen is people can reserve production, and that production will be idle, but by reserving it, which costs something, you know, companies like ours would have a facility that's running idle most of the time. And it doesn't have to be a face mask, it could be anything. We would guarantee service up to a certain threshold that would be pretty high, but they wouldn't need to have it when they don't want it.
All right, very good. Well, you mentioned Medline has made capital investments. We know that distribution involves a lot of innovation. And during the last few months, we've learned a lot about delivering products to hospitals in times of crisis. What new innovations or new technologies do you see coming to market to enable supply chain transparency from manufacturing all the way down to the bedside?
Well, first, we have about 1,200 trucks in the U.S. And historically, they were big tractor trailers delivering the hospitals, but we've also gotten into parcel shipments, delivering the physician offices and home care. We have a lot of automation with those. Many of our customers, we've hooked up that automation, and it's sort of like an Amazon or a FedEx, where the customer knows where the product is at any given point. So that provides a lot of transparency. We have automated picking, robotic picking, and we have it now in about 12 locations, and it'll soon be in all of our locations. And this is especially helpful for low unit of measure accounts. It's labor efficient. It's way more accurate, virtually 100%. Keeps the product very clean. So this has been a nice innovation that we've helped develop. And then we've done collaborative partnerships with Vanderbilt and Yale and others, where we've coordinated on our warehouse space. Maybe we've done deliveries of their product and our product together, things like that that have been nimble. I remember about 6-7 years ago, I was touring a very big hospital system, and I made the comment that their warehouse system seemed very similar to Medline. Like, wow, this does so many of the same things. And they said, it is Medline's system. We've got it from you. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. It says sometimes the CEO doesn't always know what's going on. But yeah, it was pretty similar. So,
well, I can tell you, at least as from a customer perspective, we obviously really appreciate that type of collaboration from our supplier and distribution partner. So I definitely would thank you for that level of collaboration. So speaking of which, how do you define a great customer? You know, whether that is a manufacturing partner whose products that Medline distributes, or a hospital or clinic that you deliver to.
So, we work very closely with great customers and try to make the supply chain as smooth as possible, and have tons of meetings at their locations and our locations, and figure out every which way we can work together and operate as one. There are different programs we have that we've worked with great customers. We have a program called Erase Cauti that helps lower urinary tract infections. And part of the program, besides providing better clinical outcomes, is it saves costs for the hospital by lowering the amount of consumption of product. And that's not necessarily beneficial for Medline, but building that partnership with our customers is usually quite helpful. And by being closer, they'll hopefully look at other Medline products as well. But I think it's that real true collaboration and partnership that defines a great customer or a great vendor.
Is there something as a one thing or something that you can point to that if we as customers, that we could do better to help, foster a better relationship with our supplier partners like Medline?
I think, we've got to recognize that it's not rhetoric. It's not operating with the status quo. It's willing to look at changes and really try to treat both organizations as one company so that we optimize the situation.
Well, great. Let's build on that. And I'm going to give you some special powers this morning, right? So if I was able to hand you a magic wand that would immediately create an efficient, resilient, responsive supply chain for manufacturers, for the distributors, for the providers? You know, what would that magic wand do?
Okay, good question. So, you know, I guess first it would cure COVID, wipe it off the face of the earth. I mean, COVID certainly stressed all of us, and we have had a tough, struggling year in a million ways. And, you know, I'll give you an example. We have 8,000 people who assemble surgical procedure trays all across the world. And in April and May, our volumes were in half. And we did a nice job of not laying off people and doing what we could to balance inventory and production. But, you know, certainly something like COVID that greatly increases the consumption of some products and decreases it in others wreaks havoc in the supply chain world. I guess the magic wand would be sort of this prior answer, which was, how do we behave as one? And, you know, there are little things we can do when we take our product from our own manufacturing location and ship it to our distribution centers. And sometimes that efficiency isn't as efficient when we're shipping it to another distributor and or a hospital or whoever. And there's things we would do together if we were one. You know, we would figure out the optimal order quantity on each product that would minimize the potential for obsolete inventory, and but also minimize the labor costs. I mean, everything to make it as smooth as possible and as efficient as possible. I think the magic wand is to try to get us closer together and operate as one.
I think that's a great answer. I guess I would ask this question. Do you think that one of those things that can really bring us together is large-scale adoption of data standards within the healthcare industry? I mean, do you have an opinion on, you know, the challenges obviously we faced over the past 2-3 decades of trying to get to a place where we're all speaking the same language? Yet I think today we still find ourselves not quite where we want to be, and maybe not even as comparable to other industries who've adopted standards already. So what's your opinion on UDI and you know, data standards for the healthcare supply chain industry?
I think those are quite helpful. And we have tried whatever standards, I can remember being in all kinds of meetings where we're implementing the barcode system or different EDI transactions. And I think we've been very cooperative and we're supportive of all that. We have, in fact, I'm reading it right now for tonight's meeting on our retail sales. We sell Walmart and Walgreens and Amazon and, many others. And some of that product's Medline product and some of it's private label. So we have to work with them on all the standards that are a little bit stronger and more consistent within the retail sector. So our, you know, gloves will have a certain barcode on them that the retailers need, et cetera, which I think is what you're discussing.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, We believe in that. I think SMI or frankly, just a few of the really, really big systems like Intermountain, if you kind of push hard for it, I think you could tip it that way.
Very good. Yeah, I would agree. I think it's something we have to unify around, as you said, and act as one. So I think that would be very important and beneficial for everybody. So,
yeah.
Well, Charlie, I really want to thank you. I want to appreciate, definitely express our appreciation for your time today. We hope you and your employees at Medline stay safe. And on behalf of the SMI community, I want to thank you for your time and wish you well. So thanks again and take care, Charlie.
John, thank you. And it was an honor and very enjoyable speaking to you.
Thank you so much for listening to our Conversations with podcast. And I want to especially thank John Wright, the VP of Supply Chain and Support Services from Intermountain Healthcare, and Charlie Mills, the CEO of Medline. Please look for our next Conversations with podcast coming soon. Thank you.